Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Hello and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Monday, where we have a great football game, a meh baseball game, and a whole lot of football news to break down. Let's Mike Harmon tonight try to be better than the Chargers. Let's try to do that tonight. I think we'll be fine.
It's
we'll
too soon,
show
bro.
Tonight.
Pretty porous effort as we watch them against the Ravens. Everything said, hey, they can move the ball. Unfortunately, guys forgot to catch. And Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson. And all of a sudden, everybody, oh, look, he learned to pass.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
right,
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Happy learned to putt. Yeah, no, it's it's crap. What have you been watching? Bunch of dopes. Anyway.
You know, it's like he was throwing left-handed for the last 4 years, and now suddenly, oh, look, he's throwing righty. It's fantastic. Look at the zip on the ball. This guy. Why wasn't he throwing right-handed the whole time? I don't get it.
It's absolutely amazing. Like, I get that there was always a celebration of just the way athletically he would see something, find a seam, and start to run. And those piled up, and then everybody was wringing their hands saying, oh, you can't use them like that. And Harbaugh said he'll develop, but right now this is our best chance to win. And what does he do? Wins and wins and wins some more. And yesterday was an absolute beatdown of a Chargers team that everybody started to exalt, right? And started to take Justin Herbert and say, oh, look where he is. You know what? The game's humbling. There are days, Mama said there'd be days like this, and there it was.
Hey, remember I told you on Friday the Ravens were going to smash the Chargers. Remember I said that. Watch. I said the Ravens are going to smash the Chargers. Except I said the Chargers were going to do it.
The
Ravens.
Opposite.
Yeah. But I was close.
I said you were wrong. But
I was close.
You got the blowout right.
But. I just juxtaposed the teams. That's what I meant to say. Ravens smashed the Chargers. And instead I said Chargers smashed the Ravens. But I'll take the loss. I'll take it. I clearly had the right thought. I clearly had the right analysis. It was just you juxtapose the teams. It happens. That's all it is.
That's all right. Just smack it up, flip it upside down. Oh, no.
Right now, TJ, there's been a bit of poison going on. Halftime, Bills and the Titans, and boy, this is a fun one. No points in the first quarter except a field goal by Buffalo, and we're saying, ooh, okay, oh, but then suddenly we got everything we wanted. Second quarter, 17 apiece. The Bills lead it 20-17. Game has just gone to halftime. Josh Allen's thrown for 195. He's also thrown for a couple of touchdowns. Meanwhile, Derrick Henry, 9 carries for 96 yards, including a big 76-yard touchdown run for the Titans. Again, this game has just gone to halftime. And look, Buffalo is looking to assert themselves as the team beating the AFC. And certainly on Monday night, they win. They go to 5-1 in the AFC. They will do that. The Titans are looking to say, hey, don't forget about us. We've been really good the last couple of years. But now you don't want to be 3-3. Beating the Bills will do that for them. So for the pecking order, power ranking-wise, tonight's a big deal. I mean, I don't know how you could come away from this game if the Bills go on to win and hold on to win this game. And again, they're up by a field goal at halftime. I don't know how you could walk away and not say this is the best team in the AFC. As good as the Ravens have been, the Ravens have had some pretty crazy-ass escapes, right? They had a dominant win yesterday. But right now, you would say, who's the most complete team? Maybe the most complete team in football, but definitely in the AFC. The Bills win this game. They cement their place there, and I don't know that changes for a while.
Well, the thing is with Buffalo, and you know I've been on the Josh Allen bandwagon for, long before there was a bandwagon. I was sitting out there trying to find any little scraps of wood and nails and going door to door. You got any extra screws that I can use? And I started to build that boat myself, that wonderful craft to try to get people on board to recognize this guy's more than just a running back. They had that open season loss to the Steelers. And then here's the problem with some of the exaltation and the crowning them, because we just had the anniversary of that for Denny Green. Shout out Denny Green. Dolphins. Washington, Texans. And then I know you still hate the Chiefs. So, like, out of the four wins, the Chiefs were the only team that you'd say, hey, you know what? They're pretty solid. The other three are trash, okay? They're hot garbage at this point. And as much as I like the growth of Davis Mills, it ain't working as a unit, right? And now they're going and dropping off veteran defensive players. Just saying, go find somewhere else to play for the last two-thirds of the season. The Dolphins, we watched them lose to the Jaguars in London. Much better game than your Jets gave anybody, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then Chiefs, they did beat them down in that Sunday night affair. But to your point, you know, Tennessee's a squad with great expectations. I was really high on them coming in. Now, they had 24 yards of offense until this happened.
Gives Henry on the right side. There he goes. 25-30, 35-40, 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 76 yards, touchdown, Titans!
Took him a little while to get to it, but the Titans radio network on the call. And all of a sudden, he clocks in at 21.8 miles per hour, and we got ourselves a ball game, Smith. So, long way to go. Get the popcorn ready. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Just getting set to kick off the third quarter again. 20-17, Bills with the lead. We'll keep you updated on this. I'll also let you know if the Red Sox hit any more grand slams as this game with the Astros got out of hand very quickly. We're going to the top of the fifth inning, and Boston has a 9-3 lead over Houston. All they do is hit grand slams. Kyle Schwarber getting in on it tonight.
Sure.
With a grand slam in the second inning of the third time they've gone deep with the bases loaded in this series with the Astros. So, you know, hey, Astros did put three up in the top of the fourth, but still it's a 6-run lead for Boston as the Astros come to bat here in the top of the fifth. Now, part of the big NFL breakdown we have going on right now, we have this big story out of Washington State involving head coach Nick Rolovich. And this plays into the big story today involving Evander Kane, an NHL forward who was suspended for 21 games for falsifying his COVID vaccination papers. And on top of it, Adam Silver gave a big State of the NBA press conference today talking about how he wished that the Kyrie Irving situation was resolved by the players when it came to a vaccine mandate. But this is not an NBA issue. This is a New York City issue. So now on the eve of the NBA, and the Nets have already announced that Kyrie Irving is going to miss, you have the Evander Kane story. I'm falsifying my COVID so I can go play. And now Nick Rolovich, who you remember him as a great quarterback at the University of Hawaii for a long time, he is now fired as head coach at Washington State. He is let go along with other assistant coaches, four of them, after they refused the state-mandated COVID-19 vaccine. He was someone who said very early on, I'm not going to get it, and I'm hopeful we can continue on here. The deadline was Monday for thousands of state employees to get it, and the job of head coach, Washington State University, is a state job, and he didn't want to get it. So now he is no longer the head coach, and four other coaches as well are out. Now, there's two parts of this story. One is what we've talked about many times. We always feel the need to say it is that when a state makes a rule, it's like a private corporation making a rule. A state can make a rule for state employees. This is something that happens, right? You can make the rules and touch the tentacles of what is under your jurisdiction. As I've told you, I think it's kind of weird, and I don't like the fact that the state government's getting involved with the Nets, which is a private entity in the NBA. But here's the
public
state of
building,
Washington.
Though, buddy.
Yeah, it's, but right, exactly. Well, the
public money towards the building.
You can fudge buildings in New York, right? Like, that's been going on the last few days. But this is something. Okay, we understood this was coming, right? This wasn't something brand new. This was a state thing. What I'd like to do, and this is different from the conversation I think anybody has had, is I would like to revisit Nick Rolovich and Evander Kane and other people who are losing everything, who have chosen this hill to lose their livelihood on. I want to revisit them in 10 years and go, was it really worth it? Do you really think you were thinking clearly when it came to this, when it came to the COVID-19 vaccine? All right. First of all, we lost Colin Powell today, who was one of the greatest Americans that any of us could possibly look up to in government. The list of his accomplishments are so many. And he, passes away due to complications of COVID, even though he did get vaccinated. Now, Colin Powell also was suffering and was riddled with cancer, which really made it difficult for his body to fight COVID off. That's a big pre-existing condition when it comes to it. And already you've seen that, Colin Powell died and he got vaccinated. Yes, in very rare cases, that can happen if you have a pre-existing condition, right? That can happen to you. But for the vast majority of us, you get vaccinated, you're okay, you won't get it. You can still get it, but in that case, all the symptoms is very mild, and that's the vast, vast majority. There's always going to be outliers, which is unfortunate and tragic. You don't want anybody to, hey, I did this to try to save my life or try to say, and it didn't work. But you have to go with the percentages of what the success rate of this is. And I don't know what people who don't want to take it feel like. I don't know why Kyrie Irving doesn't want to get vaccinated. I don't know if it's, hey, in 3 years, they think everybody who got vaccinated is going to die because it's a science fiction movie. And it's, oh, yeah, everybody got vaccinated, everybody's going to die. And then people who didn't get vaccinated, they're the only ones left in the world. And it's going to be like a new TV show on TBS. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. This is out here, and the vaccine is out here to help us get past COVID. This is not people are coming to your door saying, I need to garnish your salary, or I'm taking your car, or what I'm doing is going through and taking away your valuables. This is about something different, and it's being equated to all these different things in the world that it's not. Right? This is a vaccine to try to get past a pandemic so we can get past it, right? Everybody wants to get past it. I don't know what... that's why I really want to go back and wait a few years and talk to people like Nick Rolovich and go, was this worth it? Was it worth... You were a head coach of a Power 5 college football team. Everything in your life, you went to get to this moment, right? And the ESPN reporter, too, who left because she didn't want to get COVID vaccinated. Is it worth it? Is it worth giving up everything you've worked for because you don't want to take a vaccine that is going to help you fight off an infection that has killed almost 100, it's killed 750,000 people, right? I mean, are you really going to do that? Is that really where you want to go? Because that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, do you really think this is what you want to do? You want to lose everything you've done because I don't want to get a COVID vaccine. Kyrie Irving's going to say goodbye to the end of his career because he doesn't want to get a COVID vaccine because nobody's going to trade for him. Nobody's certainly going to pay him ever again. So he's saying goodbye to all of that. So when he says something like, you think I want to do this? No, you don't. You don't have to. There's different things out there. I don't get that part of it. And that's why I say, you know what? Let's look at something different. In 10 years, we go back and say, was it really worth it? Do you really think you were thinking clearly? Do you really think? Because I always say, if you have a reason, I get it, man. If you give me a good reason, I will say, you are right. And I'll be the first person to say, you're right. You should not get the vaccine. Other people like this should not get it. But the fact is, we haven't heard them. And because who has had a good one so far? It's been really, really difficult. And it's a shame that a story like this happens, that here's Nick Rowe, who's now got to figure out some other way to provide for his family. These other coaches got to figure another way to provide for their family because I didn't want to get COVID vaccinated for whatever reason. And that's the real shame about this, is that I know in a few years you're going to say, hey, was it worth it? And they're going to go, oh, yeah, really wasn't. That's the tough part of this, Mike.
Well, in the end, you make your decisions, right? You've had plenty of time to mull it over. The mandate was announced by the governor on August 18th, so that's 2 months to make your decision of what you wanted to do. And school president Kirk Schultz, in a release, Washington State University students, faculty, staff understand the importance of getting vaccinated, wearing masks so that we can safely return to in-person learning and activities. I'm proud of all those members of our community who have set the example and taken the steps to protect not just themselves, but their fellow Cougs. So now we get into discussions of, the selfishness, leadership role that he's supposed to have, whatever. He made his choice, right? And for the players, the staff, for everybody that they come into contact with, it certainly elevated the risk coming in. And you could say, again, you know, you can get it if you're vaccinated, you're still around. So as long as you protect yourself, what's the difference is where people go with this. And it's the, you know, you live in a society, I guess, as we go back to the base of it all. And maybe he'll regret it a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years, whatever that timeline is. But in the moment, he made a choice. These are the consequences. And off he goes. Now, it costs a lot on the student athletes and everybody in the program, right? That this is their coach. Oh, wait, middle of the season. No, he's not anymore. So I don't have you been planning, you know, for his eventual departure? The other part is, and again, not to go deep down the rabbit hole, but, you know, it was reported and leaked. June Jones, his mentor, leaked the information to USA Today after the Cougs win over Oregon State on the 9th of October, that Rolovich was looking for a religious exemption. And this is where I'd like to, you know, anybody that wants to give me the education as to where in any scripture and any doctrine, and I'm not saying it flippantly. Yeah. I have read countless articles about it. You know, yeah. The ESPN reporter that stepped away was talking about morals and this and the other and kind of going down, pushing towards religion, and many have, and this is for my own edification, right? I'm not being flippant about it. I'm not mocking anybody, right? Because there's plenty of folks that are more than willing to do that. For me, it's if you're claiming religious exemption, I just want you to educate me as to what exactly in religion you're claiming. Because I've seen countless articles, countless write-ups, many church leaders from all over the globe saying, no, it's our responsibility to look out for our fellow man and get the vaccine and get vaccinated. You know, so I don't get it. So that part of it is still just curious to me on a more intellectual pursuit of all of this, of trying to wrap it all in my arms. But for Rolovich, he made a decision. He's out of a job. And there's a lot of people right now that are disappointed, have to pick up their lives and continue on after, you know, committing to play for this man and now have to try to finish off this season in a positive way. And so that's part of it that is unfair on them because of his decision to stay unvaccinated.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
We could see a lead change here in Tennessee as the Titans trailing the Bills right now 23-17 midway through the third quarter, but Titans have a second and goal. Tannehill is just thrown incomplete on a fade pattern because, you know, I love the fade because it works so well.
Well, just wait 5 seconds. You might see a change.
So we'll keep you updated on this, but joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora. He is right now helping Tommy DeVito through the transfer portal at Syracuse. It is the aforementioned Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, Jay?
Oh, I am just living the dream. How are you, gentlemen?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I want you to help me out with something here, Jay, because, you know, look, Lamar Jackson has been playing great, like he has been for the majority of his career.
Three-plus years, yeah.
And now, you know, you get today John Harbaugh saying, hey, you know, Lamar Jackson's critics are starting to shut up now, and they kind of are, and I'm scratching my head going, he's always been really good. I don't see him doing anything way differently than he has been in the past, except more people are finding less ways to say, I don't know about Lamar Jackson. What are you seeing from Lamar? Anything really different from him
changed
this year?
No, I think it's changed. You look at his air yards per attempt. You look at his yards per completion. You look at how they're pushing the ball downfield. You look at first down passing. He's throwing on first down more than he ever has. You look at play action passing. Never been a point of emphasis here, at least not since Flacco was in his prime. Only Justin Herbert has had more dropbacks and more attempts play action than Lamar. Lamar's throwing on first down more than he ever has before. He's pushing the ball outside the hash marks more than he has before. They're getting more yards after the catch than they have before. There has definitely been a transformation in the passing game. And not to say he couldn't have done more of this before or whatever, but I think if you go and look at sort of the balance of power of this roster and you look at, you know, a year ago where, okay, Ingram might be getting a little long in the tooth, but we've got this, you know, Gus Edwards guy who averages 5.25 per carry, and we got this J.K. Dobbins kid, this rookie who's going to end up averaging over 6 yards per carry. And so let's just keep feeding that beast, right? And now those two are done for the year. And we're talking about Latavius Murray off the scrap heap and Le'Veon Bell off the scrap heap and, you know, Devontae Freeman who couldn't make the Giants off the scrap heap and an offensive line that's kind of beat up and Nick Boyle, right? We got a $6 million a year blocking tight end who's not available to us. So are we really going to road grade people or do we have to open it up? And we've got Hollywood Brown who now is running a more robust route tree. We've got Mark Andrews who's a great move tight end. Our first round pick, Rashad Bateman's finally available last week. Sammy Watkins has made some plays. Devin Duvernay is showing up. All the ascendant talent is in the passing game. So they are bombs away in a way that they, again, haven't been since probably Joe Flacco's playoff run, you know, when they slayed the dragon of Brady and Peyton Manning and then ultimately beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. It's definitely changed. The way that Lamar climbs the pocket now and sort of navigates that and looks people off with his eyes and he's finding his third option, his fourth option, it's pretty special. It's different than 2019, and boy, you watch it and you say, my God, if they did have Dobbins, because they were lining up Dobbins in training camp as, you know, a slot receiver, as an outside receiver, as a running back, as almost at times sort of like a move fullback, like an H-back. I mean, they were going to throw the ball to Dobbins all over the place, and he's a special athlete, and they won't have him at all this year. But if they did, I think their offensive efficiency would be even more off the charts than it already is.
All right, Jason. Well, one of the other games beyond the Back to the Future thing with the running backs there in Baltimore, which is kind of fun. Everybody plays, everybody wins, is the Urban Meyer victory across the pond, one of the prettiest couple of field goals you'll ever see from a kicker, that nice curve back in, like, wow. You know, like he had some English going on there. That was good.
I thought at least one of them was headed for, you know, section 114, the third row, seat 25 or whatever. It looked like it was just going to go off into the ether on the right side, but then bent back in. Look, I thought they'd win that game. It was one of my best bets last week. I thought they'd win it outright, said play the money line. You won't need the 3.5 points. Miami is garbage. Miami is even in worse, dire straits than Jacksonville. And Jacksonville does have discernible strength. Now, especially that the Browns have lost both tackles and both running backs. Jacksonville is the number one rushing team in the NFL. And they're also top three in defending the run. And at least that was a starting point. That's a modicum of an identity. Could Urban Meyer still screw it up? Absolutely. Could things go completely haywire, especially in the second half? Damn straight. Damn Skippy, as all year. But they had that going for them. And guys, they've been going over to Jacksonville, further east to London for 8 years. And there's a lot of guys on that roster who are accustomed to that trip, who know how to navigate that trip, who it's just kind of built into their schedule. And it wasn't for Urban, but they also, as an organization, knew how to make that trip, knew when it was best for sleep patterns and rest and rehab and recovery and all that, like when to make that trip. They've learned through trial and error in a way that Miami hadn't. So, yeah, I thought that would be the rare game this year, that they would get better as the game went on and Miami would get worse. And Miami doesn't have a lot of talent. Miami is not a well-run operation. They're falling apart at the seams. And unfortunately for them, they opted not to take that bye week coming back from London, which means now they're the walking wounded. Now they're punch drunk and you know, even further chasing their own tails because they just made that trip in a short amount of time and lost another game and don't really know what they do well, and big changes are on the horizon.
When you say big changes, this is Flores, this is Tua?
I think it's everybody. I mean, I don't know how – like, you can't separate them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, Greer made bad calls. Greer's not doing anything that Flores doesn't want him to do. Greer's a pleaser. Greer's there to work, you know, and try to facilitate a symbiotic relationship with the coach. He's not taking a quarterback who the coach doesn't want. He's not bringing in all these New England guys that the coach doesn't want. You know, he doesn't want to trade or cut or release or waive top free agents 9 months after signing them. He doesn't want to draft players who the coach doesn't want to play. I mean, the whole thing has been unseemly, you know, frankly. And it's not simpatico. I've been reporting on this since the spring. Nothing that's happened there has surprised me in the least. You got two offensive coordinators, means you got none. You know, it's just you're too cute by half. You're constantly firing coaches. You're constantly firing players. And you think you're building some sort of juggernaut. No, you're not. You were lucky to win 10 last year. You were going to be the poster boys for regression. You are the poster boys for regression. And the owner is looking at this thing saying, you know, a pox on all their houses. Like, who's the good cop? Who's the bad cop? I mean, I get it. I mean, I know Flores is working them over. Like, I know Flores is playing that game as many, many Bill Belichick disciples have played. But I don't really know what he has to, you know, to stand on. And Stephen Ross at this point's got to look around and say, no, none of this is really worth doubling down on. I feel bad for Dolphins fans, but it's like, here we go again.
Hey, Jason, with taxation on the rise and a lot of problems in Chicago, should Aaron Rodgers really be claiming ownership of the Bears?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not an accountant. I am – thank God I have an accountant and tax people and financial advisors that I trust, because I don't know how many pennies are in a dollar. Like, I'm the wrong guy to ask about any of that stuff. But do I think that Aaron Rodgers has like a 50-year mortgage in the heads of Bears fans? I do. I think he lives rent-free in their minds forever. I think they look at him and say, how the hell did those guys go from Favre to Rodgers? And we've gone from Sid Luckman to nobody? I mean, I don't even know. Like, you know, we had like 2 years of McMahon and like half a year of Cutler, I guess, before he and Mike Martz were ready to choke each other out. Like, I don't know, man. It's I think Fields, though, I think Fields has the potential to be an impactful NFL starting quarterback. But, again, it takes a village. It's not just about him. It's about a lot of other things that he can't control. But they were in that game for, you know, a decent way into the second half. And then Rodgers did what Rodgers has always done against the Bears. And they had no answers for that. Yeah, I mean, look. We'll see if the Vikings can keep pace with the Packers. We know that Detroit and Chicago are perennially rebuilding. And we'll see. But Green Bay might be in position to be that one team in the NFC that gets to take the first weekend of the playoffs off.
All right, lastly, speaking of the NFC, Jay, look, it's a weekly topic, and I know you're being dragged to this kicking and screaming. Are you believing a little bit more in the Dallas Cowboys now than you have been? Are you?
I wrote a mea culpa about, was it 10 days ago or so? Or, I don't know, last Wednesday? Maybe it was less than 10 days. I don't know. It all bleeds together. But I have I have waved the white flag on my skepticism of them being a team that's capable of doing some damage in the NFC. Do I think they're winning a Super Bowl? I don't. But it's really, really hard to win a Super Bowl. I think that the margins are a little bit slim when it comes to their offensive and defensive line. Should injuries emerge, and in recent years they have. But that, man, that offense is, it's a lot of fun to watch. They're beastly on that side of the ball. And they have enough playmakers on defense that even when they get into these ruts where it's like, oh, I don't know, Diggs or Gregory, you know, or Parsons, somebody, when that offense is that good, you don't even need, like, defensive wizardry. You don't need, like, a top five defense. You just need playmakers who are going to force that one punt, are going to deflect the ball, knock it down, are going to chase a quarterback out of bounds. They need, you know, three or four stops a game. And then they're better than that because Diggs is, like, out of this world. And they are not just getting sacks, but they're getting strip sacks. They're getting, you know, game-changing, momentum-shifting plays out of that defense. And they play in the division that's hot garbage, and they're going to win a lot of games. And it's going to put them in good stead. So, yeah, Dallas, I'd this up.
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, I know, I get that.
You understand what I'm saying? Well,
yeah, yeah. No,
we got to, dude.
I missed the mark on them. I missed the mark on Arizona. I overrated the Patriots. And yeah, there definitely is another team that I overrated that I wrote a column about. Maybe it was Seattle a few weeks ago, but once
could have been the Jets.
Once Ross goes down, no, I didn't overrate the Jets. No, I had the Jets dead to rights. I know exactly what the Jets are.
And
so do you, unfortunately.
Yes, I do. Hey, Stingley's going to look great in a Jets jersey next year. He's on Twitter, at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun.
Talk to you guys next Monday. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hi. True.
Bills lead the Titans 31-24. Still a lot of time left here. 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And this has been a really entertaining game. We have the Buffalo Special. We'll break that down for you coming up in about 10 minutes. But before we get to that, look. Nothing has changed for one team that people think things have changed for in the NFL after this week, right? I told you weeks ago it was going to be a struggle for the Chiefs to be a wild card in the NFL playoffs because the offense isn't what it was even 2 years ago. The defense stinks, right? They don't have any big-time weapons that you're afraid of outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. This is not the same kind of offense. But they win a game against Washington, and now it's, oh, look at this. Now they're 3-3. Everybody else in the AFC West lost. Chiefs. No, the Chiefs are still the same, right? They're still the same. They're still a team that's going to struggle, right? They're still going to do it. This is not suddenly everything is great. You beat a really bad football team that has zero idea of how to carry over last year's defensive success to this year's, all right? So just that's where it's at, right, with the Chiefs. Nothing has changed for the Chiefs. Now, because I'm about positivity, Mike Harmon, I'm about going forward, right? Like I said weeks ago the Chiefs are going to struggle. Last week, everybody came around to that saying, oh, you know, the Chiefs are not very good now. They're 2-3. They're not good, and they got problems, and I don't see a way out of this. Oh, you're welcome for that take. Now everything is fine. Everything is not fine. They beat a really bad football team. Again, you're 3-3. You're not 5-1. You're going to struggle to make the playoffs. The only way to get out of this, and like make it better, it's great that they were talking about getting Marlon Mack. You know, they needing a running back. They need something else. You got to go bigger than that. If you are the Chiefs, you got to hunt for Allen Robinson, Michael Thomas, give up something big, give up a big draft pick to get one of these guys, because eventually they're going to walk away from their teams, right? You know, Allen Robinson wants nothing to do with Chicago anymore. Michael Thomas is really unhappy in New Orleans. You can give something, you can give a nice big draft pick, and it's going to be, oh boy, hey, you know what? The Chiefs are in the AFC. We don't really care. We can trade them away. You got to go big game hunting for a superstar player, a great wide receiver, and that's Allen Robinson, that's Michael Thomas. That will make things different. That will make things incredibly different for the Chiefs offense, and then watch them roll, and then it's going to be danger, danger, danger. You're not going to get one defensive player that's going to do it. You go get an elite wide receiver like that, that's how things will change.
See, it's funny because you mentioned, I mean, Michael Thomas is elite in that system and has been, right, and has been a beast, but now he's coming off injury and off on the sideline. Not quite sure when he's going to be cleared for activity. At this point, but for Allen Robinson, we've got certain guys that come on here, Cole, among them, that deride the upside and the elite level that is Allen Robinson, so trying to determine what he is. But certainly, yeah, adding another weapon, sure, go out and try to outscore everybody. I would guess there are plenty of defensive options if you wanted to go and make a couple of hits in that regard. Now, their schedule is a mess. Down the stretch. That's the problem of winning with great regularity, as Ron Rivera lamented in the week leading up to the Chiefs game, right? I wish we hadn't won the division because then expectations wouldn't be high. And I parenthetically put, and your schedule would be a lot less daunting on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, maybe at some point they remind him, hey, stop being careless with the ball. And you see some of the great things he can still do. One of the interceptions was a tip ball up in the air. There's really nothing you can do with that. But, look, I don't leave them for dead. I'll take Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes against a bunch of the teams they're competing for playoff spots against.
Go get big. Go big. Go Michael Thomas. Go Allen Robinson. Turn that into the most dangerous offense in the NFL again. Then you solve stuff. You like that? Coming up next, boy, do we have a great hot take about Aaron Rodgers coming your way. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, this is Fox.